You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by Gordon Chang, a man we have the privilege of talking with each week about matters in his portfolio, which is that huge part of the battlefront of the war for the free world known as Asia. He covers it exceptionally well at The Daily Beast, Forbes.com, World Affairs Journal, Fox News, and elsewhere. Of course, we like to think we're in that pantheon as well here at Secure Freedom Radio. He is also the author of two superb books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Very apropos of the topics of the day. Gordon, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
So let's talk a little bit, Gordon, about the state of play between the United States and China as it relates to North Korea. You have several quite provocative pieces in Forbes.com, among other places, about the necessity, really, if we want to get the North Koreans' attention, if we want to actually have any kind of behavior modification, short of, I guess, regime change there, you have to go after some of the big companies, in particular big banks of China. Where are we with respect to the sort of thinking of the Trump administration with respect to all of that, and how is it sitting with the Chinese?
The Trump administration is still sending signals to Beijing about what it can do. So, for instance, on Tuesday, we saw the sanctions against 10 entities and six individuals, Chinese, Russian, and Singaporean. And that is just the most recent in a whole string of messages that Trump is trying to send to the Chinese. Before that, we had on June 29th, the unplugging of a small Chinese bank, the Bank of Dandong, for money laundering. And in the Obama administration, at the end of September of last year, there were the forfeitures of bank accounts. So there's a whole string of things that we're trying to send to the Chinese saying, look, the United States has overwhelming power over you. We are reluctant to use it, but we will. Now, the thing that the administration should do is it unplug a major Chinese bank, such as Bank of China, which was named in a 2016 UN report for devising and operating a money laundering scheme for the North Koreans in Singapore.
And Gordon Chang, when you say unplug, what does that mean mechanically and as a practical matter? And is it something that the Chinese are working to develop means of sort of finessing with their own arrangements, institutional and otherwise?
What I mean by that is designating a Chinese institution a primary money laundering concern under Section 311 of the Patriot Act. That would lead to U.S. correspondent banks no longer handling dollar transactions for that designated institution. This is what we did for Bank of Dandong on June 29th. And this means essentially that the bank so designated would not have access to dollars, which means it would be out of business everywhere around the world, except perhaps in China. So this is a death sentence on an institution. The United States has been unwilling to do that because there are obvious repercussions. But I make the point that the fact that there are repercussions on us, costs on us, is an argument to do it. Because if we were to show that we had political will, it would tell Beijing that we were serious about North Korea. And right now, the Chinese don't think that we're serious, despite all the bluster and the words of this administration and previous ones.
This is a very important point, needless to say. And we were talking a moment ago with Kevin Freeman, who has been warning for some time, as have you, Gordon, I think, that the Chinese are taking steps to try to insulate themselves from such pressure by working into arrangements that will both reduce the preeminence of the dollar as the world's reserve currency and create their own sort of trading arrangements, financial trading arrangements and the like that may enable them to be less dependent on the institutions that the United States largely put into place after World War II. Is that something to be concerned about here, or is this the moment to strike before those kinds of arrangements are in place in order to attenuate a present danger from North Korea?
No, the renminbi has been losing altitude in the global rankings of usage, largely because the Chinese have been making it even less convertible. Beijing has strict capital controls, and now they're actually applying informal controls that are not on the books. The reason is because they're trying to prevent capital outflow. So the renminbi is very weak right now in the sense that it's not advancing in global usage. You know, right now, the U.S. has overwhelming leverage over the Chinese, and there's no way they can actually insulate themselves from having Bank of China or another so-called Big Four bank being unplugged. What we could do if we wanted to is we could essentially bring down the Chinese financial system, which would bring down the Chinese economy, which would bring down the Chinese political system. Xi Jinping, the aggressive, belligerent, provocative Chinese ruler, he'd be out of a job, and he knows it. The only thing that keeps him in power is because we don't use our elements of national power, not only in this administration, but in previous ones.
Well, and Gordon Chang, if there were any need to reinforce the point that we had better be serious about North Korea, the past few days have seen still more ballistic missiles being rolled out, some tested, but initially they were thought to be unsuccessfully tested, but apparently the Pentagon has reconsidered that. But at the very least, there are some new and potentially quite formidable long-range missiles that the North Koreans have been beavering away at, much to our surprise. As you look at it, Gordon, as our friends and allies in the region look at it, I assume that there is basically no alternative to a real and comprehensive challenge to what the North Koreans are up to.
Yes. And the other thing is that the Trump administration has shown itself not up to confronting North Korea. So, for instance, we had Secretary of State Tillerson saying just I think last Tuesday, there hadn't been any North Korean missile launches since the UN sanctions that were imposed on August 5. Well, the North Koreans made him look a little bit premature by launching those three ballistic missiles. And also President Trump, you know, at the time of Tillerson's comment said, oh, you know, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean ruler, is beginning to respect me. Well, I don't think so, President Trump, and I don't think so, Secretary of State Tillerson. The North Koreans just proved that they have no respect for the United States. And it's not because we don't have the power. We do, Frank. It's just that we're not using it and we're making statements that are counterproductive to our own cause.
Well, I wish to say this were the only instance in which Rex Tillerson has been undermining President Trump. It isn't, as you know, Gordon, and it's vexing to say the least, especially given the stakes that are involved here, for sure. Let me turn quickly to one other issue that I know you've been following closely. Most of us have, frankly, probably not paid nearly enough attention to, and that has been the border crisis between China and India. There seems to have been a resolution of it. Is that your reading?
Well, there has been a temporary pullback by the Indian forces, and I believe by the Chinese forces as well. The statements from both Beijing and New Delhi are a little bit unclear, but at least the standoff appears to be cooling off right now. But this is only a temporary pullback on both sides. We know that the Chinese are going to continue to provoke India. And during the standoff in Doklam, which is in Bhutan, we saw the Chinese probe India on at least two other occasions. So Beijing is really attempting to test the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi. Modi has been willing to stand up to the Chinese, and good for him, because he's leading the way, showing the United States what a little bit of backbone can do. And we could certainly use that example, because we have not been willing to confront the Chinese like the Indians have been. So good for New Delhi. Let's learn from the Indians. It's about time that we confront the Chinese as well.
And of course, it comes at the moment that the president is talking about relying more on India rather than Pakistan in connection with the Afghan situation. Fascinating topics. Much more to discuss. We look forward to doing so with you next week. Gordon, thank you so much for your time today. Keep up the great work you do at The Daily Beast, Forbes, World Affairs Journal, Fox, and elsewhere, and come back to us again soon. Next up, we will speak with Christine Brin about developments that are a menace to our freedom of speech and much more. Right after this.